It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. And this weekend, artist Patti Smith will sing that song, People Have the Power, in a concert in Carnegie Hall. Now, you might not expect Carnegie Hall to host an artist like Patti Smith, or for a punk legend like Patti Smith to want to play Carnegie Hall, but Patti Smith is on a mission. The Trump administration backed away from the Paris Climate Agreement back in June, but many cities across the country have been trying to meet carbon emissions targets on their own, and that's where Patti Smith and her daughter, Jessie Paris Smith, come in. Jessie co-founded the group Pathways to Paris, advocating for climate change policies around the world. Patti and Jessie are now behind what they call the Thousand Cities Initiative. And they joined me here in the studio ahead of this week's concert at Carnegie Hall to talk about why the time is now to address climate change.
As I travel, I mean, just to take it on a simple personal level, I've seen the changes in our environment from city to city all over the world, such an escalation of cars, more use of fossil fuels and gas, and everywhere I go, sometimes it's so polluted out that, you know, it's hard to even take a nice walk in a city. And we see all of the escalation since I was a young girl of natural disasters, which would be one in every 10 years or one in every 20 years. And now it's a domino effect of natural disasters. So the time is really, it's now to do what we can to put a halt on the devastation of our environment.
Jessie, you're co-founder of the Thousand Cities Initiative, which I mentioned, getting commitments from 1,000 cities, as it were, to take action on climate change. I suppose the point of this is, in the absence of what you see as substantial climate policy coming from Washington or from other governments.
Well, we founded Pathway to Paris in 2014. We originally founded it to push for the world to come up with a legally binding global climate agreement. And we did this through concerts and uniting musicians and activists and politicians just to amplify the message. And when the Paris Agreement was reached, we changed our movement to be about turning the Paris Agreement into reality. But pretty much when Trump was elected, we decided, okay, let's not just have these events and these dialogues for raising awareness. Let's also offer a tangible solution. So we came up with this idea of the Thousand Cities Initiative, which is without the need of federal government. And it's the idea of if 1,000 cities around the world commit to going 100% renewable energy by 2040, then we can meet the requirements of the agreements. You know, when Trump announced that the U.S. was pulling out of the Paris Agreement, you saw cities all over the country standing up and saying, we're not backing off of the Paris Agreement. We're still going to continue with our plans and meet the requirements. So part of the focus of the Thousand Cities Initiative is also to highlight what cities are already doing, but it's also to engage citizens. So the petition that we launched is really a citizen action tool to get regular people to push for their city. So that's what we're really focused on now. And then hopefully there'll be just all the cities of the world will join on.
Patti Smith, why are we here in this moment when it comes to climate change? There are a lot of aspects to President Trump's candidacy, as we all know. One of them wasn't just skepticism or reluctance on climate change. It was saying this is a hoax. This is a hoax invented by the Chinese. And for all of the other attributes of this campaign, a lot of Americans either didn't mind that message or responded positively to it.
I think the reason that citizens react in this way is because these kind of initiatives require sacrifice. When Jimmy Carter was president and we had the oil crisis, he asked the American people to carpool, to put their thermostat down to 68, to find a way to conserve energy, not to use so much gas. And a lot of the population felt very affronted. They felt that
people laughed at him.
Well, they laughed at him, were angry at him, and didn't reelect him. And part of it is they don't want to sacrifice. But we have to find language or some way to communicate to people that in sacrificing to meet these measures, they are giving a gift to their children and their grandchildren. And we need people to start looking into the future. And actually, the future is coming right at us.
Patti Smith, is your art better in angry times or hopeful times? I hear both from you right now. You say you're hopeful and energized by what your daughter's doing, and I get that. You're also angry, I think, about what's going on in the world. And you're an artist. Everybody knows that. When is your art better?
Well, as a private artist, I mean, when I'm writing poetry or drawing or taking photographs, I don't require any specific climate. It's a very internalized kind of work. But as a performer, having something to react against is very energizing. And it's, for me, a very energizing time. I feel like I have a lot to speak about, to bring my energy to help ignite or inspire people to action. And so as a performer, this kind of climate is very useful.
Jesse, some of this activism is personal for your mom. Is it personal for you?
Of course. I hope that climate change is a personal issue for everyone. I know it's not, but I think everyone who is part of the movement realizes that, you know, the earth is our shared home, and this is the most critical issue of our time. It's an issue that affects every single person, living being, animal life, plant life. It affects everything.
Patti Smith, you talked about this being personal for people and all the different disasters that we've seen over the last 10 years, if you want to pick that number. People who don't live in New York might not know that you have a house in a beach area of New York City called the Rockaways, which barely skated through Sandy, right?
Well, my little house, I had a little bungalow, which I bought 3 weeks before Hurricane Sandy, had no insurance, and it was semi-destroyed. It took 2 years to make it livable and to get any kind of gas and electricity to redo the plumbing. But, of course, it was my little writer house, so what happened to me wasn't as important as to what happened to my neighbors. But there were people who went nearly a year without electricity, without proper heat. And so many of us, Jesse included, many of our friends went and helped people clean out their basements. And there were mountains of people's washing machines and their couches and everything destroyed and cars. But what was to me even, of course, much more heartbreaking was how nature destroys itself. And we lost our dunes. We lost, you know, all of the plant life that protects the dunes. It's heartbreaking that if we, in our misuse of nature, that nature turns in not on us, because nature has no mind or no animosity, but she does turn in on herself. She destroys herself. One looks at these things and they keep happening over and over again. And I just wonder how much has to happen till people wake up.
Patti, I have a tough question for you, given your criticism of President Trump. In the summer of last year, in June of 2016, you advocated pretty strongly and performed on behalf of Julian Assange and his release and on behalf of WikiLeaks. Events followed that, and it's pretty clear now that WikiLeaks had a role in helping Russian interference in the election and may have had a role in helping get Donald Trump elected. And given your views of Donald Trump, I wonder if the opportunity to advocate on behalf of WikiLeaks or for Julian Assange came up again, if you would do it the same way.
Probably not. I actually admire Julian. I've met him several times. He's quite intelligent, and he's got a global fix on the world that is really incredible. He's an incredibly intelligent man. But in view of as the things you spoke of, I have backed away. That doesn't mean I'm recanting, because I still, I liked him very much, and I believe in freedom of the press. But I don't believe in, like in Star Trek, as they say, I don't believe in throwing a wrench in the prime directive. But there are a lot of things that I found for even though I'm a registered Democrat, what the DNC did to Bernie Sanders, I thought, made me step away. A lot of the things that the Democratic Party has done has made me step away from and really examine the Democratic Party. I'll step away and reexamine anything because new information is important. It's important to be constantly educated. So right now, the way I feel is when I look at everything, that we need a new party.
But you don't, but Patty, you don't feel some sense of betrayal having put your reputation and your art and your advocacy on the line for Julian Assange, that he probably helped elect somebody who you consider, through what you're saying here today, Donald Trump, the president, somebody extremely detrimental to the other things that are important to you?
Well, first of all, the word is probably. I have, you know, when he goes, if he goes on trial and certain things come out, but, you know, things are so complex. I feel more betrayed by the fact that in the last election, probably only 50% of the people voted. So, you know, Trump was really, you know, he was nominated by maybe 24% of the people in America. That's how I feel betrayed. People ask me, well, didn't you feel working for Ralph Nader, you know, through the kink in the machine of that election? No, I don't. I feel what threw a kink in the machine in that election was also the fact that half of our citizens didn't vote. So the reexamination of Julian Assange is, you know, for me, that's a personal matter. I like him as a human being. If he did that, and I've been thinking a lot about that, I haven't visited him or spoken to him. And if I decided that I would ask him outright. Because, you know, I have a relationship that I could ask him that. But it, I don't feel like that is the major factor in why the election went the way it did. I think the election went the way it did because half of the country didn't vote.
Artist Patty Smith, what an honor to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And Jesse Paris-Smith, musician and activist, co-founder of Pathway to Paris, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you very much.
Patty Smith will perform at the Pathway to Paris Climate Action Concert in partnership with the United Nations and 350.org this Sunday at Carnegie Hall here in New York. That's it for us. Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
Here I go and I don't know.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, offering print and marketing solutions for business, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, signage, and more. More at Staples stores or staples.com/print and marketing. Staples, it's pro time. And LegalZoom.com, providing legal answers to the day-to-day questions of small business owners through its network of independent attorneys, available nationwide. More information at LegalZoom.com/takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.